Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Man, if you don't love cup of noodles, ramen, you don't love life, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that nice lady was going to say it's noodle time.
Let's go.
High noodle. Yeah, you got to say the last part. Yeah.
How many high noodles are there in Boulder, Colorado? Ooh. I mean, come on. Everybody's eating ramen at high noon in Boulder, Colorado.
Doesn't Dusty make his own ramen? Didn't we have that conversation
with him on the air? I think we did.
Yeah. Like your own ramen?
Yeah, he was making dinner for people and and there was ramen there. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, our good friend, Dusty Evely. Dusty, is that right? Are you a ramenist?
I'm a ramenist, yeah. Not all the time, but it's one of the few things my daughter will consistently eat, so I try to mix it up, try to add a few different things in there, try to make it something kind of different and a little special. Usually it just falls back to
chicken broth and noodles. Oh my God, can you not chew it directly into the mouth?
With all due respect to cup of noodles, I assume your ramen's a little more fancy, a little bit better than cup of noodles?
I try to be. Honestly, it probably is not that much different. If I'm being honest with myself, it's probably roughly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I am curious how much you can do to a bowl of ramen noodles. I mean, are you putting hot dogs in there? Are you doing pieces of steak?
Yeah,
we're just throwing all kinds of stuff.
I grilled up some pork. I did. I actually did tacos, and I also did ramen. Grilled up some pork. Did some pork chops, and then some. Grilled some pineapples, and then I did that in tacos. And the next night, I used that in ramen. It's hit and miss, but I try what I can.
Well, hey, that's nice that you get an extra day out of it, right? Use those leftovers wisely. I've become more of a leftover guy since I've been done playing, in this retirement. We was going to the stadium I'm like, why would I eat leftovers? I get three, good square meals a day and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm not eating leftovers. Now I'm required to. And I've done a lot better. I'm doing better at eating the leftovers that we have in the fridge. Dusty. It's not, I guess there's no good segue for leftovers with this schedule, but what are you thinking? Packers schedule finally released. It was real leaky there for a little bit. There was speculation, and now we have the full picture. I'm just curious what your thought is. Let's kind of just break it down. First four games, I mean, we got to feel pretty good about how the NFL kind of set this Packers schedule up to start this season.
Yeah, it's a way heavy, which you always get like a little, how are they going to do the travel? It's three of the first four are away. But yeah, as far as like who they got, the Vikings out of the gate, I don't love divisional week one. I don't love opening with a divisional opponent. I especially don't love opening against the Vikings because Flores he's got all offseason. He mixes up his blitz stuff. It looks the same, but everything is just different enough that it takes half the season to figure out what he's doing, basically. So week one gets wonky, but
yeah, gonna be a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at if Parsons, you think you're gonna miss first four. I mean, if you look at any other four game stretch, really any other four opponents, I don't know you could have picked four better ones that you're going into without Micah Parsons. I don't think.
Do you think there's no way, but we always talk about the script and that it's it's set up and planned. I mean. Do you think the script writers looked at, and they're like, all right, Micah Parsons projected maybe back in that week five. I mean, how it laid out, it feels pretty like it does feel like they almost considered, all right, Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons might not be available early. Let's not just like brutalize the schedule for this Packers team because they want, I believe storylines, all the thing like Packers being relevant is a good thing, especially when it's Packers Bears or, the NFC North, if they're relevant at the end of the season, It makes for great storylines.
Yeah, and even, I mean, especially look at that Cowboys game. Like, that's one, if that's in the first 4 weeks, not even the Micah of it all, but Kenny Clark is over there or Sean Gary now. Like, there's enough storylines there that if that hits in week two and Parsons isn't out there, like, it's just kind of, it gets a different vibe. So I don't want to say scriptwriters wrote anything up, but, man, it certainly looks pretty favorable at the beginning. The end as well, I mean, with all the home games at the end, the only true, like, massive gripe I have with the schedule, that bye week. I like the week 11 bye week. It's not a true bye week. Like, it's what, 10 days off or something? And Mason, you would probably I did not play. You know better about this than I do. But as far as like that bye week,
yeah,
you did not do something like this. But what does that look like in terms of like you're gone for a week, you're gone for a week plus, you kind of go, you reset, you do all that stuff. You lose that now. You get the time before, you get the time after, which is cool. You get that buffer like before that Rams game, and then you get the Saints game. So it's almost too many buys. But what do you think as a player, what would that do to you? Is like if you're missing essentially a full bye week, you're cutting.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I thought about like what it would feel like as a player. And it's like, well, you know right away, you're probably only going to have 3 or 4 days off. You know, because not, you know, coaches, they have a mindset. We always had like the bonus Monday coming out of a bye anyway. So it's like you practice Monday, you get into a regular week schedule for a Sunday game after the bye. So now it's like, are they going to have Monday through Thursday off and then kind of start prepping for that Wednesday game? That'd be my guess. And then you're going to have 4 days off after that Wednesday game. You know, they'll give you a little bit of time. Yeah. The second half of the season is wonky in a lot of ways because you got that, right? You have the weird bye, you have a Wednesday game, then you have a little more time, and then you play on Christmas Day, which is a Friday.
Yeah.
And then you don't play till the following Sunday. So, that's a strange second half of the season because the first half, like, you got the Thursday game. So I just think it's going to be managing their time and expectations of like having a good plan, having a good schedule. And that was kind of my difference with McCarthy versus LaFleur when LaFleur came. McCarthy, once the schedule came out, he would literally, I think day one of training camp, would have the whole schedule laid out for the season. And it would not change a ton. It was like, all right, this is our plan. You can bank on this. If we change it, we'll let you know way in advance. And I appreciated that. LaFleur has a little more variance in his schedule. He'll kind of keep it a little close. There might be some adjustments, some different things. So it'll be curious. This is one of those where I feel like you have to give guys some like advance notice on how these days are going to look, because I think mentally it's good to know exactly like how much time and what to expect throughout the course of a season.
So Mason, you shouldn't just show up 2.5 hours late for a flight.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk more about that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I, you know,
they're not
going to find you, right? According to Miles Turner, if they're not going to find you, like, let's just all do it. Like,
Dusty, I'm not hijacking the segment. You go ahead.
No, you're fine. No, I mean, it's a good point with with how that's laid out, because it is not uncharted territory, but pretty close to it, right? Like, you kind of know what you're going to do. It's mixed up enough. Like, Thursday's been a thing for a while now. You got the late season Saturday games. Like, you kind of know what that's going to look like in terms of like that Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Monday, Sunday to Thursday, how those schedules look. If you're throwing Wednesday into the mix now as well, potential Saturday game late as well, there's more variability. That's something I wanted to look at, was just even just the teams playing. I have not looked at this yet, but all these teams moving around, even just the Sunday product, even without talking about Packers specific schedule, Sunday product gets watered down to some extent too. If you get all these, the good teams on primetime, suddenly you're watching, I don't know, Chargers Browns at 4:25 on a Sunday or something. Like, that's no fun either.
That's so prime it's time
the
TV.
Variability of it. I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of adjustments. We got Dusty Evely joining the Mason Crosby Show here, talking Packers schedule. I want to ask you, Dusty, whenever you saw home and away teams, and it was like, all right, we don't know when they're playing. I want to know what you thought a good record would be for this Packers team, just from looking at the teams that they were going to play. And did that change once now you've seen when and how, like, how it sets up in the course of a season? Did your win-loss total adjust or change after seeing the schedule come out?
I think probably a little, but not much. I mean, I've got them at like 11 to 12 wins is kind of what I'm looking at now. I mean, there are certainly some things, like you look at I mean, the Rams, I think, are a really good example for me. Like, if you play the Rams, it's going to be in L.A. If you play them early in the season, you know Stafford's healthy. You know Devontae's healthy. At this point in the season, week 12, like, Stafford, like a year ago, was in an Airstream trailer. They didn't know if he was ever going to play again. And he made it through last season perfectly fine. Is that injury going to crop up for them again? Like, McVay, LaFleur usually has McVay's number. Like, I'm not super worried about that one. But that's when you get these teams, you start looking at those, like, the older teams. Another one, like the Dolphins. The Dolphins was like, listen, if the Packers take them in week two, I'll take that as a win. Just because everything's so new. It's just halfway the head coach. They drafted 16 guys.
Or yeah, but now Malik Willis cooking in December, and, you know, who knows what's going to be happening, right?
Yep, like, yeah, teams settled in. Those guys who are rookies.
And relax.
The full season, all that stuff, you know? Like, there is those – some of those considerations, I think, you take into account. I mean, you never know what's going to happen as the season goes on, but that was a Dolphins – or, yeah, Dolphins specifically were one where, like, those guys might not know how to play together in week two, but – by week 15, they might be a little feisty. They might be a little, have grown together a little of that.
Dusty, so I think
it changed a little, but not much, I don't think.
Last time we had you on, we had brought up the conversation, and I think it was just me, you, and Mason, when we talked about those first four games, an acceptable record without Micah Parsons, right? And yep. Now, seeing how the schedule falls, we'll revisit that question where, if you didn't have Tucker Kraft and you didn't have Micah Parsons for those first four games, does Green Bay still have to be a 500 team during that stretch? They have to be a 3-1 team? Where do you think they have to lie with the schedule that falls after those first four games if you're looking at those first four?
I mean, I would like to see him 3-1. I still think that's I think that's very real in the possibility. But again, with the Vikings week one, I think you could. I think 2-2 coming out of that, and say then you come out in week five, you're 100%. I don't know if that changes. I don't know. I don't remember what I said yesterday. I certainly don't remember what I said last time we talked. But I think that's probably where I was. It was like 500. Like 2-2 is kind of what I thought. And looking at it now, if you split, I mean, if you lose to the Vikings and the Bucks, and you beat the Jets and the Falcons, and you come out of that 2-2, doesn't matter how you come out 2-2. Just come out 2-2, and then you're hopefully by week five you're full. I think that's fine. You don't want to win one game. You certainly don't want to go 0-4. But I think if you at least go 500, I think you're feeling pretty good.
I'm gonna be just because three of those four are on the road.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, gosh, like 3-1. If you're not 3-1 after that, then I'm like, I would be not concerned. I would just be like, gosh, that.
Hold on.
Like against those teams, I'm not as impressed.
I hear you about those teams, Mason. But what was the record without Micah this year?
I agree. But I'm like, just so we're just gonna go back on like
I'm just
couldn't win without Micah Parsons.
Well, right. The defensive coordinator that just got a head coaching job didn't win a game without Micah Parsons last year. So just like he did his part in Green Bay.
But this team has to be better than they were in. Yeah. Do we think this team is better than they were in 2024? They didn't have Micah Parsons in 24. Like, if this is 24 without Micah Parsons, even on the roster, you look at that and you say, if they don't go 3-1, we're not real excited about this Packers team right now. Like, right?
Yeah, well, they just lost a top wide receiver option. They're not going to have their other number one receiving option probably for that game, for a couple of those games in Tucker Kraft. It just feels like it does set up where this is a very favorable schedule through those four games, but they are missing two crucial pieces, one on each side of the ball.
True, they are. But I mean, you know you're missing them. It's not like losing a guy and like, you know, the end of the season. There is a difference whenever you lose somebody that you've been leaning on and relying on. When you're like preparing to come into these games, you know they're not going to be there. Like now, yeah, like you should be prepared and you should go and win these games. Like that's how I view that, because it is different than losing Micah to an ACL, losing Tucker Kraft like you did. It's like now you have to find pieces to replace it. Right now you're preparing for these four games without those guys. You need to go out and dominate these four games. That's just how I look at that. What do you think, Dusty?
It'd be nice. I mean, again, I think a 500, like it's a long season. So I don't want to see them lose by 30. I'll say that. Like, I want them to be close games. But if they come out of it 500 and then you're like, okay, we got Kraft. I mean, to your point, Mason, that's exactly it. Tucker Kraft, they talked all offseason, but last season about Tucker Kraft, like he's getting more involved in the passing game. They built their offense around that, and then they had to readjust on the fly, and then they kind of got that back. They had the little lull there after the Tucker Kraft injury and got that back up. I think I'm excited to see what they do with Golden. I really like Golden. The tight end position as a whole worries me, but the wide receiver group, especially everyone healthy, came out of the gate week one. I think they'll be good. Gannon has shown an ability to adapt and mix stuff up both on the front and the back. I really like what Babbage did on the back end in Buffalo last year as well. And so if all we've got to do defensively, we've got a couple guys up front. We kind of like where our safeties are. We can throw the kitchen sink at these guys for 4 weeks. We can put something together for 4 weeks and then hopefully settle back into something like a little more normal. We've seen Gannon do that throughout little stops. And so if that's their approach, I think they should be able to win. Again, if they come out 2-2, I'm happy. 3-1. 3-1 is the hope. 3-1 is kind of what I'm expecting. But with three of those on the road, weird stuff happens on the road and weird stuff happens in week one. And so I'm at the moment 2-2, come out of that 2-2, 3-1, I'd be happy as a clam. 4-0, brother, we're cooking 4-0.
I totally agree. Like, what do you think? What world do we live in now that you have two Thursday night games in the first 8 weeks of a season? Like, what is going on in the NFL that this is now the new norm? I thought Thursday night games were you got one Thursday night. Like the schedule, like I actually almost didn't even think about that until just now. Like, yeah. I was looking, I'm like, there are two Thursday night games in the first 8 weeks of the season for this team.
Way
like,
too much, Al
that's
Michaels.
That's insanity.
Well, I mean, Thursday night is cheap wings night at our local sports bar. So, like, I'm okay with it.
You're okay with that?
Where I will watch Love those it. Games. But, I mean, Thursday night used to be sacred, man. That used to be Panthers-Jags. You know, that was our swap game.
Jags-Titans, come on.
Come on, brother. That was, like, that was
Color Rush with those disgusting brown uniforms.
I got to care about these games, man. What is this? What are we doing here?
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. So we talked about the NFC North earlier. I am curious your take on which teams should we look out for in the NFC North as you look at rosters, if you've done some of your research, which teams are Vikings going to be better than they were last year? Are the Bears going to be worse? What are we expecting from the Lions? Like, I just kind of want to hear your breakdown of what this NFC North is going to look like.
I really like of all the off seasons, I like what the Vikings did the most, which is very funny to me because they fired their GM. I think Kwesi was not very good. And so they get him out the door and I think had the best draft they've had. Now we'll see how that plays out. But I think between the draft, between bringing like a competent QB in, where last year they went in, I would never a JJ McCarthy fan. Maybe that's the Michigan hater in me, but I'm never a JJ McCarthy fan. And so going into the season with him as a starter, like that felt set up a failure. Kyler Murray's no world beater, but he's at the very least an average QB. Like he can go top 10 certain weeks. Like he can certainly go supernova. He'll give you trouble with his legs and he knows what he's supposed to do. Like he can run a competent offense and he throws a pretty go ball and they got Justin Jefferson on that team. So between what they did in the draft, bringing Kyler Murray, I don't know if the Vikings are going to be like challenged for the division good. They're going to be better than they were last year. Like, I feel pretty good about that. Flores is back. We know what Flores is going to do. We know what the defense is going to do, especially first half of the season. The Bears, I don't know that I hate the Bears offseason. Senna retired, Dahlman retired, which is pretty big for them, I think. Like, they brought in Garrett Bradbury, but yeah. I mean, having seen Kenny Clark eat that man alive for years and years and years, I don't have a high opinion of Bradbury. He's competent. He's fine. I feel like they take a step back, even if the offense is better. That's one of those where, like, a few years ago for the Packers, that was a thing. Is I feel like the record will be worse, but the team itself might be better. I think we could see that. If Caleb takes another step forward towards consistency to go with those high-level plays, I think the offense could potentially be better. That defense was smoke and mirrors, man. That was all turnover stuff, and that stuff always comes crashing out. That was a lot of that was just dumb luck, man.
Yeah.
So I feel like the record is worse, but the offense is better. And then I don't know what to make the Lions, honestly, man. Like, they lost the coordinators last year. They brought in new ones. They were fine, and then it kind of went off the rails, and Dan Campbell took back over. Did not go overly well. They still got a lot of talent, but some of those, they're aging out a little bit. Some of those, not aging out necessarily. Some of those guys are getting a little older. I don't think they have a ton of speed aside from Jameson Williams on the offense. Like, I feel like that's a team that is not going to be bad, but kind of mired in mediocrity. So I feel like they're like that a 9-win team, 9 or 10-win team. Overall, like, it's still a really solid division. And the high end stuff, I think the Vikings and the Bears hit their heights. Those could be really good teams, but it just feels like everyone's in that same, like, 9 to 11 wins is roughly where everyone shakes out.
Okay. Well, so then in that regard, then, like, where on this schedule, where would you view maybe the trap game for this Packers team? And I want to ask you, because Mitch, we talked about the Patriots. He's wearing his Patriots sweatshirt today. Yeah. Do you think the Patriots kind of come back to earth and they weren't quite as good as everyone, you know, saw?
Which I'm already on the record as saying.
Mitch already said it. Yeah, yes. I'm not trying to throw Mitch under the bus on that one. Mitch already said that. He thinks that they might just, you know, kind of middle out a little bit.
My older brother's a big Patriots fan. So I talk about him with him about this quite a bit.
I knew I liked him.
I mean, that was
that's crusty. Crusty Evely. Yeah, I got it.
That's right.
We're all a little crusty, bro.
That's right.
You'll be old one day too.
Yeah, seriously, man. You're right on the doorstep, Tommy. I think Pat's got a good team. I really like Drake May. They feel like they have to take a step back. Like, I don't think they were as good last year. The AFC was down. They kind of ran the gamut a little bit. A lot of injuries. They don't make the Super Bowl. I think if Bo Nix doesn't break his foot, whatever it was, Bo Nix ended up breaking. It feels like that could still be a decent team, and probably challenge for the division, you know, depending on what the Bills do. I don't really like the Bills offseason. But I feel like they have to come back down to earth. That seems like one of those, like the Bengals Super Bowl run, like it was kind of this charm season. Everything went right. They hit. I mean, the Bengals had this elite offense, and then all kind of fell apart after that. I don't know what's going to fall apart for the Patriots. We'll see what ends up happening with them. But May got away with a lot last year. And I think some of the turnovers maybe crank back up a little bit more. That hurts them. But I still like the team overall. Like, I think they'll be fine. Trap game. Man, there's a few in here. I don't know how much I believe in the concept of a trap game itself, but if you want to look at one, I mean,
early.
I don't
know
if they're gonna overlook it. There's the Halfley of it all. I was saying the Dolphins. Like, there's Dolphins. The Halfley of it all. Like, they're coming off of. They've got that weird bye. They've got the Bills at home. You're looking forward to the Bears. You're going away at the Bears. That's your last Bears game there. And sandwich between there is the Dolphins. And depending, again, that point of the season, Dolphins may either be cranking it up, or maybe they've got two wins at that point. And you're kind of going, all right, man, like, you know, we got the Bills. We beat the Bills. We lost the Bills, whatever. We got the Bears coming up. We can coast through this Dolphins game. Like, that seems one, if you're looking for a trap game, depending on how that plays out, I could see that being in the running.
Also, the narrative of, like, that guy should be our head coach, right? Like, Jeff Halfley. Yep. I didn't even think of that. That's a great answer. Yeah, that's 100% the trap game on this list. I thought Saints was weird, too. You got to go to New Orleans. Always weird things happen there, it feels like.
And I thought Panthers again. Panthers last year, Panthers this year.
Oh, Panthers absolutely in the running, 100%.
Yeah. Is it a trap game anymore with the Panthers? Are the Panthers good? No. They made the playoffs.
They did, but they were under 500. I mean, do we take them seriously? Do you take the Panthers seriously, Tommy?
I didn't take them seriously last year, probably, right?
Yeah. I think it was
I think Aaron Ellis or Jen Curtin on Packet this past week was talking about that. And they're like, listen, the Panthers game this year, no throwbacks, no color rush. They're always wearing the throwback for the Panthers game. They always lose. Let's just green and gold it and get out of there.
But it's Thursday night. You have to. Like, you have to do something.
Buck tradition.
That's right. That's right.
Tradition unlike any other Thursday night football.
Nice. Awesome. All right. So, Dusty, I think as we wrap things up here, we're, you know, just the schedule release is here. Now what? Now what for the team? Now what do you focus on? Now that we have this momentous, leaky Thursday and the schedule's here.
Well, the first thing I did was text my group chat and say, all right, which one of these late season games are we going to in Lambeau? That's currently what we're on. Nice. That's the first big step. We gotta clear that hurdle. And then, I mean, it's looking forward. All the draft guys, how they...
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos.
So I said, no, I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Fit in. I'm still finishing up some kind of some draft writing stuff on that front, but now it's all right. We got this set up. How do we think this plays out in the order it's in? How do we think this is going to go? Who's going to be on the team? How does this? I mean, that's from my perspective. That I never paid attention to the leaks. I wanted to see the video. I thought the Packers did a good job with the video. I like the robot chickenness of it all. That was a lot of fun. I like seeing my dude Tom Grossi in there. That was fun. Now it's just all right, man. Now we got to wait until mini camp or training camp or whatever. All the different things, and we got some dead period, and then we just see this plays out. But this is, I love this time of the year. We got we know we're set. We know who's roughly on the team. How's this going to look? So my big thing now is just, what is the offense going to look like? We know the guys they have. This schedule doesn't change anything in my mind. what are they going to run this year? How are they going to run it? That's what I'm really excited to see now.
Nice. Which late game are you like?
Which is the one?
On? Are you going to look at? You want it? Obviously, the Buffalo game would be pretty fun.
Yep.
I like the Texans game.
I was going to say, we like to go December. If we're going to Green Bay, we want to go when it's cold. And so we're looking probably right now. 20th is a little too close to Christmas for us. We're driving up. We got to take a couple days. Bills or Texans, I think, are the ones we're eyeing right now.
Nice. Like, awesome. Dusty, thank you so much for jumping on today. Always a blast. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate you, fellas. Always good to see you.
All right. Appreciate
it. No doubt. That's Dusty Evely joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Mace, we haven't even talked about the Brewers today.
I know.
Like, well, we got to get to the Brewers. We don't even know who's starting. Tommy, do we still not know who's starting tonight?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
I don't believe so. So if I had to guess, it's going to be Chad Patrick.
Okay.
That's my guess. But,
yeah.
But there has been nothing that is
nothing yet.
Out.
Got it. All right. Well, we'll talk about that and the big win yesterday. What we can expect up in Minneapolis this weekend. Coming up here, I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wartz. He's Mason Crosby. This is The Mason Crosby Show.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.